It's an amazing opportunity to come up here, even though I do got like these knots in my stomach and, you know, I'm scared to death to talk in front of people. It is amazing just to be here to speak with y'all today and just know that, like, God is using me, of all people, to stand up here on a platform and speaking to his people. So it's just an honor. But I have to tell you that over the last couple weeks, I've been struggling. Like, I'm scared to death to talk in front of people. Like, I know, like, I have conversations with all y'all out in the audience and out in, you know, out everywhere except for here. And I'm confident and I'm comfortable and I can speak and, you know, but when I get up here, I get these nerves. And I just know, like, thank you, Allie Miller, for that song. Like, you make me brave. Like, I know he makes me brave. But, like, I didn't say that just to say that. Like, but over the last couple of weeks, like, I just been getting so much encouragement. Like, phone calls, text messages, emails, conversations, you name it, I got it. And it's just, like, just flooding in. And it reminded me of a time that the Cookie Monster spoke into my life. Like, y'all laughing, but I'm being 100% true. And, most of y'all know my young daughter, Natalie. And Natalie, she can't go a day without watching Curious George on PBS. Like, I mean, every morning it's part of her day, her daily routine. She has to watch this or everybody's life just don't add up. So, you know, like, and I'm one of them people that's never grew up, but I hate to watch cartoons. So soon she's out the door, they're off and, you know, and I'm going watching something else. But this particular day, I was so caught up with all the issues that I was dealing with in my life and all the stuff that I was facing. Like, I didn't even realize that Sesame Street was still on. And so picture this. I'm sitting there with my hands on my head, you know, just sitting there arguing, going back and forth and back and forth with God, knowing all the time I just need to pull Mario together. Like, you need to get it together. When out of nowhere, I hear the Cookie Monster say, "The word for today is self-control." And, you know, I'm like, really? You know, like, you really, truly know you going through something when you receiving divine revelation from the Cookie Monster. So here I am on the edge of this bed, you know, with tears in my eyes, you know, pain in my heart, just like amen in the Cookie Monster. Like, y'all, I'm serious. And I realized something then that all of y'all reminded me of when I kept getting them messages of encouragement. And that is that there was a purpose for that pain. And there was a purpose for that struggle. And most importantly, that I wasn't alone in it. Even the Cookie Monster could speak into your life. So I just want to thank y'all for just being my, you know, my real life Cookie Monsters with all the timely words of encouragement when I was going through my growing pains. But before we crack open our Bibles and get with this message started, and I just want to pray with y'all real quick. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are and what you've done for all of us, Lord God. I thank you for the strength, Lord God. I thank you for making me brave, Lord God. As I stand here with knots in my stomach, Lord God, I just know that you will carry me, Lord God, and this is your word. And it's an honor just to be a conduit of your word to speak into the lives of your people. Thank you for this opportunity. I just thank you for every person in this room, Lord God. I pray that these words would just fall on soft hearts, Lord God, and seeds would be planted, Lord God, that would grow and just further your kingdom. I thank you for today, and I thank you, and I pray that you just use me in a great and mighty way in someone's life today. In Jesus' name. Now, I want y'all to know, before this message begins, that there will be one perfect part of my message today, and that's the part where I speak from God's word. Now, I was once reading about this doctor. He was a great medical missionary. His name was Dr. Paul Brand. And he worked with lepers, and he would witness the mental anguish and mental pain that they would go through on a daily basis because a leper can no longer feel pain in the leprous parts of their body. So Dr. Brand talked about what a tragedy that was. He said, if I had the power to eliminate human pain, I would not exercise that right. He said, pain's value is far too great. He said that there is a protecting purpose of pain. Dr. Brand said that a leper will sometimes wear away a wounded part of his body because he feels no pain. Open wounds become infected and limbs are amputated because they go unnoticed. The person with leprosy might smoke a cigarette down until it burns his skin and never feel it because he don't have that pain to protect him. You see, pain is a sign of God's love for us. So standing here right now, I will thank God for pain, because pain lets us know that something is wrong and protects us from that harm. Now, I'm sure y'all could echo this, but everybody experiences pain or suffering through at one point in their life. And our natural instinct is to avoid that pain. In Matthew 19, verse 21, it says, this is Jesus saying, if you want to be perfect, he's talking to the rich man. He says, if you want to be perfect, in the Greek that word is teleos, meaning complete in all parts, full grown, of full age, especially in the completeness of Christian character, meaning he's offering this guy perfection, a perfection of his Christian character that no money or no monetary thing that can offer. And so he says, if you want to be perfect, go sell all of your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. But this man refuses to give up his money and his stature. He refuses to feel the pain of this monetary loss. He makes himself a leper to his own dream. Pain is valuable. This man's pain was much more valuable than he could ever imagine. Much more than any money or stature. Question: are you holding on to something today because you don't want to face the pain that comes with losing that? We need to realize in this moment that God allows pain. And I'm here to tell you that there's purpose behind that pain. Like Pastor Jesse was talking about last week, he said our dreams should not be to benefit us alone. So sometimes our pain and the painful things that we experience are not for us alone either. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I felt pain in my life while chasing my dreams. And I'm sure all of you have as well. As a church, we have talked about our dreams and fulfilling our dreams and how to get to our dreams for quite some time now. And trust me, like, I know that y'all have some amazingly big dreams, family. I know that y'all have some amazingly big dreams. But I just haven't heard your dreams. I've heard them and seen the pain that you went through while pursuing your dreams. And I just want to tell y'all that I feel your pain. And you have to know that your pain is not going to stop your dream. You say, but Mario, you don't know the obstacles that stand in my way. But I do, because I know the obstacles that stand in my way and that stood in my way. And you say, Mario, you don't understand where I come from and what I've been through. I may not understand where you come from or what you've been through, but I know where I come from and I know what I've been through. Y'all see me up here preaching now, and you think he's got it. He's got no worries. But I have to tell you that to get to this point in my life, I've had to go through some devastating things. You want a list? I was born into a broken home. I'm not trying to rhyme, but my father was truly a rolling stone, in and out like the fast food joint. I had to watch my mother struggle to provide basic necessities such as food and water that we all take for granted. So the Salvation Army lines was a part of our weekly routine. I would watch as she later began to provide these needs through selling women. And when that well ran dry, crack soon followed. When I was just 8 years old, I watched my mother, the woman that I loved more than anything in my life, be drug off to jail and had to move in with my grandparents. Just two short years after that, at age 10, I had to try to wrap my young, immature mind around the fact that my father was just killed. And let me tell you, that's pretty hard for a child. That at 12 years old, while searching for role models, I would find many in the form of drug dealers and hustlers, which led me, a 12-year-old child, to selling weed and crack to fit in and just be a part of the crowd. Two short years later, I would find myself locked up in a juvenile detention center, away from everything that I could call my home, lonely, lost, wanting to cry out but not knowing how. So everything that came out in the form of anger and aggression, misunderstood. There's more. At 20, I would get my first taste of the prison system. And shortly after coming home, I would lose my second father, the only positive male role model in my life up to that point. Fast forward just a couple years after that, at 25, I would re-enter the prison system with a fresh 9-year sentence, leaving my wife to fend for five small children, and me. And that a year into that sentence, I would call home on Father's Day, of all days, only to receive the news that my baby girl had a seizure that morning and died and had to be resuscitated. So now, do you feel me when I say that I feel your pain? I feel your pain. And you might say that's all in the past, but you didn't see me just a month ago on my porch pacing back and forth screaming and crying out to God because my family got delivered some devastating news that no family should ever have to face. You don't see me walking behind down my path in my woods. I call it my trail of tears, and I water that path a lot. I've been through pain. I go through pain. I feel your pain. I promise I ain't giving up on y'all. Let me see your hand. This hammer. If you ever worked in construction, you know, you hammering them nails, you working, and you get comfortable with that hammer in your hand, and you pick up the pace and you start moving, and next thing you know, bow, you smash your finger. What's the first thing you do? You grab that joker tight as you can and try to work out that pain. And then for some ungodly reason, you know your hands are so filthy, but you stick it in your mouth. And then you're gonna hit a little dance. You know, you're gonna hit the dance. I don't know what your hips and your legs have to do with your finger, But you're going to do that dance. Because when one member suffers, we all suffer. Our pain unifies us in our dreams. When we watch others suffer through the same things that we suffered through, we develop a soft spot for that particular suffering. A team of us from Journey went with our prison ministry team up to Vandalia Women's Prison last week for their annual Fall Yard Jam. And they can tell you, like when I went in that prison, I had some raw emotions just come. I cried for the first hour I was there. And I was just walking. Soon as I touched that yard, I just had tears in my eyes. And I'm walking around this yard and just pacing. I can't even speak to nobody. All I could do was cry. Because I felt these ladies' pain. I felt the pain, the anguish, the loneliness that these ladies felt on a daily basis. Why? Because I had been there. Because I had been there. I felt their pain. But I also had a tremendous joy in my heart, knowing that where they were could be used as a catapult to propel them to their dreams, as it did for me. Which leads me to my next point. Pain precedes glory. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Beyond all comparison. Now, I know we have some football fans in the house, right? That was light. The first service was way better. And I know if you're a football fan, you'll probably look at me crazy when I say this, but one of my favorite players of all time is Matthew Stafford. Now, Matthew Stafford is a bum as a quarterback. He is not a good quarterback. And that's not the reason that I like him, because he's an amazing quarterback. I like this man, and he is one of my favorites, because on November 22nd of 2009, Matthew Stafford threw for 5 touchdowns in a game against the Cleveland Browns, being the first rookie ever to achieve that accomplishment, which led his team to a 38-37 victory. And on the final drive, with the game on the line, Matthew Stafford received a crushing blow that dislocated his shoulder. In one of the most heroic performances I'd ever witnessed with my own 2 eyes, he pushed through the pain and stepped back onto that field, despite the team doctors and everybody else telling him to stay on the sidelines. He pushed through that pain. And that was a moment that I will never forget. And I don't think you will either. Check out this clip.
The Lions are 32 yards from a game-winning touchdown. Stafford sets, looks, now running back to his right. Stafford looking for somewhere to go. Oh!
Hey, that's the timeout. I can play, right? Help me up. I can throw the ball if you need me to throw the ball.
Let's go. Takes the snap, rolls, throws, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Oh,
man.
Wow. Now, if you like me, it never gets any easier watching him take that lick and seeing and hearing the pain that he experienced in that moment. But what makes it so memorable to me is that he got back up. After all of that, he got back up. Now, I know many of us has taken them licks in life. I know I have. I've took some blows where everybody else told me I should stay down, but I got back up, and I'm able to stand here today because I got back up. In Romans 8:18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed into us. And that's my challenge for you today, family. Don't let your temporary pain hold you down or hold you back and prevent you from chasing your dreams. Matthew Stafford's pain preceded his dream. Matthew Stafford's pain preceded his glory. Without what he did, without getting back up, we wouldn't be talking about him here today. But we're going to make it personal. Because your pain precedes your dream. Your pain precedes your glory. Could I have a worship team come up, please? If Matthew Stafford would have become a puppet to his pain, if Matthew Stafford would have became a puppet to all the experts around him, he would have never seen that dream play out that day. Nor would his team, because I believe that without him, the Lions would have lost that game. And it would have been just like any other loss. Insignificant, unimportant, just another one for the books. But Matthew Stafford knew that it wasn't just about him. On that day, it wasn't just about Matthew Stafford. Because when one member suffers, we all suffer. We all suffer. I just want y'all to know today that your dreams aren't insignificant. Your dreams aren't unimportant. Your dreams are not just another one for the books. You want to know why? Because Jesus' pain preceded our dreams. Jesus' pain preceded our glory. In John 16:33, it says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I find comfort in those words. I find a peace in those words. And I find a peace in those words because those are the red letters. Those are the red letters. Those are the words that proceeded out of the mouth of the one who, for no other reason than loving you, was criticized, scrutinized, beaten, bloody, battered, crucified, and then buried for us. But the story don't end there. Y'all know the story don't end there. Because even after all that, he still wanted to show you that Friday was just the beginning of the weekend, baby. And if you make it through Friday, and you push on through Saturday, when Sunday morning comes, the sun's gonna rise. The sun's gonna rise. And if you are one of those who has made it through Friday and struggled, but pushed on through Saturday, I'm here to tell you that it's Sunday morning and the sun has risen. The sun has risen. He's no longer in that grave. Like that video we watched, he got back up. And he got back up for you and me. He's standing there, arms stretched wide, telling you, it's time. It's time for you to get back up. You need to know that your pain is not going to stop your dream. Your pain, in fact, will point you to your purpose. And the greatest thing of all of it is that you're not alone in this. Because when one member suffers, we all suffer. At this time, I would like for the ushers to begin and for our communion teams to come up. And I'd like to ask the leadership team to come up. I just want to say, if that is you, and you're hearing that voice telling you that it's time, that it's time for you to get back up. If that's you, we have an amazing team of people that's willing to stand in prayer with you today. And I pray that you bring yourself to this altar and that you lay it all on the line in prayer for your dreams, for your visions, and the visions that God placed in your heart. And just remember this week to never give up. To never give up, because God.